got so much things to say right now. They got so much things to say.
Hey, but I'll never forget no way. They crucified Jesus Christ. I'll never forget no way. They sold Marcus Garvey for rice.
Good afternoon, good afternoon. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, a Sunday remark. You just heard from Ms. Trish Hanna from Your Lane, and I understood they had a very interesting conversation, one of those hot topics that Bahamians love to discuss. I think we kind of enjoy that type of discussion, to be honest with you. That's what we call juice, sweet juice. And you know, some of us cringe at it, and some of us just feel that, you know what, it's just another contact sport for those people who have abstained and they remain to be strong Christians in the faith. They may tend to look down at such practices, and other people just feel it's all a game. But you got to continue to tune in on Sundays here at Guardian Radio 96.9. Just about around, I'd say about around, what, 4 o'clock or so, it begins to get really hot. I know you've been listening to the BBC News all day, and sometimes it comes on all night, but this is our time now. And this is Remark, and I'm sitting here with none other than your one and only AI mind, Darwin Russell. I think they made AI after his brain. I think they took his brain and began to dissect it and began to try to figure out how the human brain works, and they did different apps and so forth to reflect how he thinks, and today he's here. He's our Bahamian AI here on Remark, and we appreciate him. Gabby just wants you all to know that her mother comes out of the hospital today, and she is also still praying for quick recovery. And she is satisfied that her mom is home where she can get tender, loving care. And so our prayers and concerns are still with Miss Gabby Enius. This is Remark, and today we want to have an interesting conversation with you. It's been raining early today, so it's a cooler end of the summer day. And we just want to heat that up a little bit for you, just to break a little bit of your mental sweat and discuss a little bit about how religion affects our politics. Religion. And, you know, I've sat here for just a brief time, I'd say 2-3 years here at Guardian Radio. I've been on other stations. I've been on TV with Shanique Miller, and I've been with Orthlyn Bodie, and I've been with Lady Philippa Russell. I've been with Howard Grant. I've been with Lincoln Bain. I've been with Rudy Magical Grant, I've been on probably 1-2 other host shows. But here on Remark, I'm now maturing to where, Darwin, I'm getting a front row seat, as it were, on the emotional status of our Bahamian people when it comes to politics. It is crazy. Mm-hmm. It is ballistic. It's like a roller coaster, and I'm watching people get bent. Mm-hmm. I'm watching people attack other people, begin to hate each other just over politics, mm-hmm. and a little bit of religion too. Mm-hmm. And I'm beginning to feel that, you know what, I'm wondering if all of this energy that we are utilizing, if that is actually propelling our nation forward. I mean, it's just like an atomic bomb, but the boom is just silent. It's like, boom. Like, you know, are we really impacting our country to make it better, or is it simply like sports, where we have the Lakers, we have the Phoenix Suns, and you got the Miami Heat, or you got in football the Patriots, or you got the Dolphins. You know, it's just you're cheering them on, and, you know, you may make a little side bet here and there, but at the end of the day, you wait for the next season. Is that what's going on here? Because the game itself, to me, even if it is improving, as Darwin likes to be positive, it's improving very slowly. Mm-hmm. But Darwin Russell, you put your input in that, and then we can launch.
Good afternoon, as always. Happy Sunday, my fellow Bahamians. You know, Garth, as always, you know, you come up with these interesting topics for us to have conversations around, and for the public to chime in on. And today is no different. When I think about politics in the Bahamas, and I think about religion of the Bahamas, we like to consider ourselves a Christian nation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that has different implications than the United States, that is a polytheistic kind of situation over there, where they made a point to separate church from state because I guess in their mind, they did not want the two to become too intertwined. We definitely went the other direction. We consider the Christian faith to be the faith that we practice in the Bahamas, or at least that we wish to abide by or make efforts to abide by for those of us that believe in that. And as a result of that, we like to think that the tenets by which we govern this nation have some relationship to the Bible. I think our problem in the Bahamas is we don't seem to practice the very principles of the Bible that we espouse. And as a result of that, it lends people to be very confused, disappointed, angry, that we do not reflect in reality the principles of a Christian nation. So that's where I land on that. It seems as though we're more concerned with party than the way the Lord views our life, the way the Lord views our governance. And that should trouble any Bahamian. But I won't get ahead of you today.
No, that's fine. It's a laid-back Sunday. You know, school is about to open tomorrow. I know some of you are pressing uniforms or making sure the uniforms are stiff and making sure the children has all of the instruments that they would need to be successful in this coming school year. And I just want to challenge all the parents, Darvin, to make your child a student. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about the other children. Make sure your child this year is the A student. And the way you're going to do that is that for you parents, and I understand the complexity. I'm a very educated man, but guess what? The new education system, the way they do division and everything else, the formulas, the methodology is changing. And you know what? This year, take some of that extra money and try to find a neighborhood tutor or a young person who can assist you in bringing your child to the A level. I think that's something that you can do. You can find a child at church or who may be a bit more advanced than your child is, a church child, and maybe talk to your pastor and ask your pastor to do tutorial sessions at the church. So that way they can be monitored on the weekends so that they can actually do their homework and catch up. These are things that you can be proactive about, I think, this year, Darvin Russell, so that the community itself becomes better and we don't leave that many children behind if we leave any. And so find somebody in your community who even goes to church. If you don't go to church, you have to go to work on Saturday, the Sabbath, or go to church on Sunday. Find someone in your neighborhood who does go to church and allow your child to go to church with them and speak to the pastor. Take the time to speak to the pastor and ask the pastor if they open some type of a tutorial session at the church where children can help children, because it is true. You're not dumb. You're not stupid. It's just that the world is moving so quickly, even people like myself, I don't fully understand a smartphone. Mm-hmm. It's not that I'm dumb and stupid. It's just that some things you just can't do, some things you just can't keep up with. Life is moving too fast. And so before we even launch this show today, Darvin, I know you're a very strong proponent for children and their well-being. You had a program this week, I think on Thursday, I did. And you spoke about the children. And I think that right now, the only reason why children are being left out is because we're not caring enough. If we can just care just a little bit more by saying, you know I have to go to work two jobs to provide for my family, but let me find a responsible parent who goes to church and say, you know what, can my child go to church with you on Sunday? Can my child go to church with you on Saturday? Mm-hmm. And could you please ask the pastor if there's a tutorial session that they can create that can begin to train the children? And you'll find that, you know what, the child that you thought that wasn't so smart, was only getting D's and C's and F's, is now a child that's getting A's and B's. And so you got to put your children in that environment. And you'll find that through love and through perseverance and through encouragement, you may have the next prime minister of the country, or you may have the next leader of a church, or you may have the next principal of a school, or you may have a lawyer in your family finally, or even a doctor. You can do this. You yourself, you're not that bad off that you cannot produce something great. Encouragement to everyone today. You know from the way I'm speaking, Darvin, I just came from a short break. Took a few days off, came back. I'm a bit refreshed. My mind is a bit more open. All of that weight that I had on my body, I kind of let that off. And so, Darvin, let's get the show started. Brittany, can you give us a little quick break and give me some of that music and allow us to get into a little peak state, and then we're going to go ahead and we're going to launch the program today. Thank you. Thank you.
there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. Above them all is God. Imagine all the people living for today. Imagine girls, no countries.
And we're back. Darvin Russell here. Here's my situation today. Mm-hmm. And I woke up with this heavily on my mind. The idea of religion in our country has so many variations. The mainstream religions of Greek Orthodox, the Eastern Church, the Roman Catholic Church, the Church of England or the Anglican Church, we have the Episcopalian, we have the Presbyterian, mm-hmm. we have the Methodist, we have the Baptist, we have the Seventh-day Baptist, mm-hmm. we have the Seventh-day Adventist, we have Church of God, we have Church of God of Prophecy, we got Church of God of Seventh-day, we have Mormons in the country, we have Hindus, we have Buddhist, we have Rastafarian, we have the Coptic Church, that's also here. And there may be some other variants that I'm not even aware of. There are even some mention of dark practices, like maybe Obeah, they call it, or voodoo, a religion, as it were. Mm-hmm. And having so many variations, I'm curious as to how could we ever fix our political woes when we have these differences within our minds? Because the differences, to me, affect the way we present politics. These politicians, they come from these variations of religion. Mm-hmm. They come from families of these different followings. Mm-hmm. And so for me, when one practices religion, it's a psychological conditioning, okay. as it were for me, because you develop something called a belief system.
Okay.
So a simple situation that angers many Bahamian people is that of violence
okay.
and crime. Mm-hmm. We're all sick and tired of hearing that somebody perished through violence or gang violence or through shootings or through physical abuse. Mm-hmm. And we become immediately peeved at the fact that, you know what, this should not happen. Mm-hmm. And then you put religion in this now and listen to the various responses of people. One person says, you know what, we need to hang all of them. Mm-hmm. That's a situation there. Then someone comes behind and says, you know what, I don't believe in hanging. We just need to go ahead and we need to do a better job with the Bahamas Correctional Center. Mm-hmm. You have to make sure that we're able to psychologically evaluate these people and see if we can save these people and possibly we could even return them back to society as normal human beings. Mm-hmm. And so between those two views, you have so many other varying views in between. Mm-hmm. Like, how do you know the person was really guilty of the crime? Was okay. there enough or sufficient evidence or proof? Mm-hmm. And so what does your religion say in that regard? What does your religion say when it comes to even the general idea of politics in this country? Because what happens as we are campaigning, it's the pastors who we look to many times mm-hmm. to bring about the message as to what side of the fence we're going to go on. Mm-hmm. Are we going with the fire? Are we going there with the hand? You know, are we going to go with the fist or whatever we're going to go with? This is the side that I'm going on, and the Lord spoke to me, and the Lord said to me, and I have a prophecy that says, and that happens until the election day, and then what happens? There's no more talk of the religion. The politics takes over okay. because it's time for business. Okay. Should the religious side of things continue even past the election day, or do we have already accepted the fact that, you know what, it's okay. It's religion before the election, after the election. And then we look at a situation like that of Jesus Christ, the one from the Bible. We spoke about the Christian nation, as you spoke about, mm-hmm. where we are wanting to be a Christian nation. So let me use that today for an example. We have Judas Iscariot, mm-hmm. who was one of the disciples of 12. Mm-hmm. And he goes to the government of the day through the chief priest, and he makes a deal. And the deal that he made is 30 pieces of silver. Do we have Judas Iscariots in our churches mm-hmm. that goes to government officials or political individuals, mm-hmm. get their 30 pieces of silver, and then I ask you the question. If he got 30 pieces of silver, what did the other 11 get?
Mm-hmm.
Or they didn't get anything.
Mm-hmm.
But yet those other 11, when it was time to crucify, they didn't say anything against crucifixion either. As a matter of fact, the one called Peter denies who this Jesus was.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you mix the religious with the political, does the political have the full sway of any situation in our nation, or is the religious-minded people the ones who have the influence over the politicians in order to bring a result, like how the chief priests and the people were saying, crucify him, and they got the result of crucifixion?
Mm-hmm.
What type of nation are we running here today? What type of nation are we running with this whole either PLP and FNM or any other party?
Mm-hmm.
Already we got a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. Caller, you're live. Go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, Brother God. How you do?
Oh, I'm doing well, my brother. I'm here with Darwin Russell.
Yes. Yeah. You said that there are some people that said they don't believe in hanging.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what they believe in, that's their business. But hanging is a part of the law of the land. I don't believe people should get buckled under red light. But I, what I get to do with me, that's the law. If you're under red light, you should be bucked.
Mm-hmm.
If you kill and find guilty, you should be hanged.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what you feel about hanging and whatever, what I feel about running around, like, that ain't nothing to do with the law.
Mm-hmm.
The law was made to take, to carry out. Now, my other thing, too, you said we was going to talk on religion and politics.
Mm-hmm.
I'm waiting for my ride, so that is why I called it early.
Mm-hmm.
The 7 that was ratified on on Thursday night.
Yes, sir.
Mr. What's your name of your guest again?
Russell. Darwin Russell.
He's the host.
Mr. Russell, I want you to answer this. This is for you.
Yes, sir.
There were 7.
Mm-hmm.
I see if the PLP were to run the wrong candidate in one of those constituencies, one of them might could win.
Okay.
Let's go through it real quickly.
No, meaning, you don't got to go through it. I know what you're saying. I know exactly
meaning,
what you're saying.
Meaning 6. The PLP is 6 to the FNM 1.
Mm-hmm. I understand.
Okay.
I mean, let's just be real with it. Mm-hmm. Some people might be praying for a wave, like how they were doing it for the last couple of times.
Okay.
But this wave, now you got to be with Brave.
Oh, okay.
But listen,
okay.
There's a Brave wave this time. There's no more
wave.
Funny
okay.
wave.
Okay.
But one out of that 6,
okay.
one out of that 7 right now,
mm-hmm.
if, and that only if.
So, Julian, listen to
yes.
me. Listen to me now. You know.
I speak a little louder now because I know you can hear me clearly. I hear you clearly.
I know you can hear me too, unless something wrong with your phone.
No, I can hear you now.
Oh, okay. When, this is what I can say to you, right?
Yeah.
You know the way I think.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that I know what the analysis is on that particular 7 candidate situation.
Yes, sir.
I have not made mention of a public understanding for a very good reason. And that is a show that I would possibly do as we near into the political season, if requested or required. But you know what I'm finding out, Julian? And this is why people would tune into the show during the week as well as on the weekend, and they would notice that Garth ain't going down that road. And I'll tell you why. And I'm staying in the middle of the road in terms of trying to get a basic understanding, Darwin, mm-hmm. as to how we think mm-hmm. and why we think the way we think before we could even get into the political situation.
Mm-hmm.
Because getting into the political situation means that we will practice the same thing we did last time. I'm mm-hmm. trying to change that. But looking at the landscape, Brother Julian, my Bamboo Town fellow man,
yes, sir.
Think that right now the individuals, and I'll say this publicly then, in the Free National Movement, are ready for constructive criticism. I'm only saying that because
I
have attempted to do it before, and I think they took it negatively. And I feel that if someone doesn't want to listen and learn, then that's on them. I'm not saying the PLP is perfect. I'm not saying COI is perfect. I'm just simply saying the criticism was offered in a positive way. And it wasn't received well. So I refrained from really speaking much about the Free National Movement
But Brother God, they're now out in the public.
I see them
this
in the public.
This is somebody who you thinking might get this 7 of already, because they're now in the public.
So
they're
when,
now
So what
part
I'm saying,
of us, because now whoever wins the government, we still have to live here in the Bahamas under that leadership. So now they can't talk about their being criticized or whatever now. They are now in public the arena. And I hope when they did the martyrdom, they told them, when you hit this public light, when you hit again this political scenery, it is going to be get on the boat.
Okay, so what I'm going to say to you is
this. You can take and leave it. What you can't take.
I appreciate your call. I think it has some validity to it, but at the same time, like I said, I'm not going to really delve deep into that. But I do think, and I thank you for participating in that observation. And of course, other people will have to.
I've been listening to my ride reach, but I had to get it out early before. I couldn't
all right,
get
my brother.
On.
Okay, my brother. Okay. Take care. Next caller, go ahead, please. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, God, how you doing?
Doing good, man. I'm trying to stay out of trouble.
Long time no hear from. This is your boy, JJ.
Hey, man, what's going on, bro?
You know what? I've been listening to your dad.
There's an echo. There's an echo in the background. You in a cave.
You are on speak. I know you got a big echo in the background. You either need to move to get to a better speak, or come on. We can hear you, but it's just an echo, so we can't hear you clearly.
Okay, hold on.
Okay.
So you can hear me better now?
Yes.
Oh, solidly. Go ahead.
Okay. Let me tell you something. And see, I'm going to do that. See, I don't bribe what I do. Just do. I make my ideas do 3 years. The jungle, I teach a lot of people. Construction, I teach a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I do, I help them. Get my neighbors where I live.
Mm-hmm.
Even national pastors. The very many people don't trust the church, don't trust the pastors. Because the pastor in the neighborhood, what pastors, they're talking about the gangbanging and stuff. With myself. What's my boss worth? What's my software team?
Mm-hmm.
And then people try to ask them, which people are responsible? They say they don't do that. Even girls, you know, I sent them back to school.
Mm-hmm.
He said, grow them up with my own kids.
Mm-hmm.
And like somebody said a while ago, the people we are not afraid of politicians. And you have to go to your TLP brief, you have to go to your TLP brief, you have to go to your TLP brief, you have this country has had a world civil war, because some of the people from the South, they ain't getting back home, no. They'd rather die. People are going to tell us, the only problem with this country, whoever politics has been, I'm sorry. Not you, William, but not the Christina, talk, not a break. See, if bread is taking nothing like that, you know, so you peel a land, you're going to have that. My train going around in the Providence. They can't buy land. When I finished school in 79, land and art, I'm calling up for $8,000, 100 by 100.
Mm-hmm.
So I can worth 5,000.
Mm-hmm.
So you can make what time and all of the things. Can I take care of them? Now they're worth $1,500. Come on, Marty, you can't be treating people. There's two lives that we don't have no natural resources. We need the natural resources. We need to go and look at Norway, the country too. Take care of the people. Take them, give them money every quarter. We have to have two people that take care of their money better than me, man. We owe $12 billion debt that I haven't borrowed money. I haven't messed up with money. Could have better get their money every month during the quarter, during the everything, they get the money every month. You bring back 500 old people to do what? And everything stopped. One work wicked right in this country. As a small business man, I had to get through also my credit card register. It's just $200. They used to give us our what? I mean, our PCC for 6 months. That was good, 6 and 6 and 12. That's a year. Every 3 months, it's 2 months. Even the job is new and it's by design. Oh, the civil service will victimize the demons, and we don't do all that. I know, we can go, I know. Timothy Johnson, Andrew Johnson, Penn, we don't do all
that,
I know.
Yeah, don't call no names like that.
No, they're civil servants.
Yeah, I know they are, but you know.
They're doing wrong with the demon people.
Yeah, I don't.
That's wrong with it, God. And he's a construction man, I know what's happening. You want me to stop, because the people who you want to hire, I don't hire. I don't want you to trust them, no. These civil groups, all this is talk. And that young man, my boy, but don't go to the song crew. Being like Melinda Wilson, And can you figure this shit?
Thank you so much. You know, and I appreciate the callers, but here's what I'm saying again, Darvin Russell.
Mm-hmm.
Just the passions that we have, mm-hmm. and the way we speak,
mm-hmm.
it has to come from somewhere within.
Mm-hmm.
It's something within you that's disgusting you. For instance, mm-hmm. there's a type of person that I recognize that once they foresee an issue
mm-hmm.
nationally,
mm-hmm.
their thought is, oh, God can deal with that. God can fix that. And then another person, when it comes to the church and the pastor misappropriating tithe
mm-hmm.
or misconducting,
mm-hmm.
they say, oh, God's going to fix that.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a total reliance on God, as if you are in a theocratic government as opposed to a democracy. But now that we're here, mm-hmm. and I'm listening to the people's frustration, I'm not hearing from the previous caller, oh, God can take care of that. I'm hearing, we the people need to deal with this. So Darwin Russell, help me out with this. Where do we draw the line of our religion that has this face that says God is going to take care of our issues, and then we come back to our political allegiances mm-hmm. that says the PLP is going to take care of that, the FNM is going to take care of that, the COI is going to take care of that, mm-hmm. the BCP is going to take care of that, the PNC is going to take care of that, and you have a whole long list of people who are supposed to be able to take care. Mm-hmm. Who truly takes care of our nation? Have we even determined that? Because, like I said, as we are campaigning, it's God, but as soon as we see the victory, it becomes my party. Go ahead, Darwin Russell.
Well, there's so much to unpack with that and what the callers are saying already. Let me answer it this way, which is why sometimes these conversations need a deeper level of conversation to ventilate some of these issues. But here's what I always find troubling. You'd have folks that say things like, the church isn't doing enough.
Okay.
They'd say things like, they don't, all of these pastors this and all of these pastors that. They have had an experience with one pastor or two pastors. Let's give them three pastors.
Mm-hmm.
When literally there are thousands of pastors in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. Thousands.
Mm-hmm.
You get one bad boss, two bad bosses. All bosses are bad. That means you stop looking for work. We don't do that.
Mm.
But we stop going to church. We lambaste the whole church family. Right? That's point mm-hmm. number one. Point number two, this issue around whether or not you have to choose between almost to say what the Bible says or what the politician says, I think on its premise is a red herring. It's a false premise.
Okay.
Because the way I see it, are embedded in your law and the way you govern, there need not be separation.
But this
I'm not a Christian on the day before election, and I cease to be a Christian the day after the election. That's not how it should work. Your Christianity should carry you throughout an entire administration, throughout your entire life, if that's what you believe. And then if you believe in what the Bible says about governance, 2 points. Justice and righteousness, for example, are the foundation of a good government. Isaiah 1 and 16, learn to do right, seek justice, and defend the oppressed. What the caller was talking about was a lack of defense of the oppressed.
Mm.
People cry out on a routine basis, and the Bible says to you, who are in power, to do right by those people. The Bible also says, leaders must serve the people, not themselves. Leadership is stewardship, not self-enrichment.
And that's a conversation in and of itself.
Exactly. So if we are following these tenets that we purport to follow, we have already started off on the wrong foot in our evaluation of these particular leaders that we have in this current dispensation, in the former dispensation, and in the last 52 years of governance. Because we have failed on a lot of these measures. We have not governed the country with integrity. We have not. We have not taken care of the poor as we ought to have, as we are commanded to do if we believe in these Christian principles. If you look as a percentage of the overall budget, its budget in total compared to the theoretical need that we have in this country for the underserved, the disenfranchised, we know it's paltry. We know it's insufficient. Yet we make no changes of any substance. We put the money in areas that we're either not seeing a return mm-hmm. or we're not seeing the level of return that we would expect.
Let me see this caller has to say. Go ahead, caller. I saw you trying to get through and keep getting disconnected. Go ahead.
Yes, Scott.
Hey.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. I'm here with Darwin Russell.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Mr. Russell also.
Good afternoon.
You know, Moses, David, Solomon, and the rest of those was kings, plus they were politicians.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
How to run a country.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one can be someone in the religion, but just speak truth. Speak truth not because I may be a PLP or COLI or FNM. Mm-hmm. Believe that I can come and say, am I going to be the next governor, the next government of this country? I will be, and if it is so, I will be speaking out my own heart, saying things that what God of the heaven did not say. The hypocrisy we have inside this country, because we believe that the pastors have the answer, they do not have the answer. That is the reason why individual can go to God to get the answer. But because people are not reading and understand who this God is, they rely on the pastors, and the pastor can tell them anything. And that's just the problem, what we have today, because we have all this confusion.
Mm.
And I believe that when one can say, God set up government,
mm-hmm.
that is the way I have learned what I've heard. So if God set up government, watch this now.
Mm-hmm.
Why should one fight against what God set up? If God, well, why could should one fight against him? It is showing plain that they misunderstanding the scripture
mm-hmm.
that when God set up these government of in Israel, that's the reason why we have free democracy, that we can vote and choose, and we know that God is in the midst of everything. So, the point is, Mr. God, we are living in a time whereby this election is going to be really serious.
Hmm.
You understand me?
Well, I appreciate the call.
Thank you.
All right. Here's what I'm hearing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hearing God. See, and this whole thing of God mm-hmm. Pre-election is so strong.
Mm-hmm.
It's always strong. When someone wants a nomination, it's God. As they're campaigning, it's God. They're knocking on the door, it's God. They go to church, it's God. It's always God. But after they elected, you see a different lifestyle.
Yes.
So I think in Christian language, we call that hypocrisy.
Yes, we do.
Okay. If the leaders, does that also say and reflect that we as a people may be hypocritical?
Sure, if they come from among us, but we have to also understand that God works through people.
So God works through people and brings us the hypocrite for a leader, because
mm-hmm.
he sets up, as this caller says, he
mm-hmm.
sets up the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Then we get what we deserve. So all that we're doing
we get what we vote for.
Yeah, but that's punishment.
Okay.
So are we punishing ourselves?
Yeah, I mean, behemoths have shown and demonstrated that we vote against our own interests. I mean, we have done that for many an election.
I want you to say that again, because I don't think we have ever faced the man in the mirror or the situation, say, you know what, we are the ones at fault here. This is what I've been trying to say for some time.
Behemoths vote against their own interests, without question. If when you are evaluating a leader, right, Garth, in the private space,
mm-hmm.
you are judging that man or that woman on a track record.
Yes.
Right? Either would they have done it within the organization or a prior organization if you're trying to bring in a new leader.
I like that.
From somewhere, right?
I like that. Mm-hmm.
So, yet and still, we look at the resume
mm-hmm.
of the current leadership, the previous leadership, two leaderships ago in Bahamian politics.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at the resume of those men and women. And you're trying to tell me that based on the resumes that you've seen and the way that those men and women have governed, it would have made sense to put them back? No, it would not have, because they did not get A's on their report card. The facts would bear that out.
Mm-hmm.
Hence the reason why we move one in, move one out in this regular cycle, because mm-hmm. we fired them. But yet and still, at the same time, they go clean themselves up, they slap on new marketing material,
mm-hmm.
and all of a sudden, we give them another chance.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying, Have they demonstrated that they deserve another chance based either on when they were in previously, these same people now, I'm not talking about new people, the same people, do they deserve a second chance? Or should we say, you know what, I think I'll pass and give somebody else another opportunity because what you have demonstrated to me does not reflect that I believe that you've changed or you have the capacity to govern. That's why I say we vote against our own self-interest, because if we were really about progression, growth, taking care of the poor, immigration resolutely, I would say that too many of our politicians would be found wanting.
So this is what I'm going to say to you then. We have seen people in media, like how we're sitting here on the radio right now, we go on television and people look at us and say, you know what, I listened to him. Mm-hmm. And even someone said to me, even recently, he said, you know, Darvin Russell guy, I wish he can get into the House of Assembly. He's brilliant. I think he has much to offer. Mm-hmm. You're not the first person that they would have said that about. Mm-hmm. But when we look in the historical data,
yes,
as to people like yourselves who seemed as if they would have made a great contribution to the country, we found them short.
Mm-hmm.
And not short because they don't have the ability to do better. It's just that it seems the system itself actually just takes them, engulfs them, and actually just constrains them and prevents them from actually offering that which they have. Because if you offer too much, you become what they call a political threat. You become a political threat.
Yes.
Then you're ousted or you are humbled. Like my good friend, I remember Branville McCartney. I thought he was doing a great job as an immigration leader in the country. And he reminded me much of Loftus-Roker, even though he wasn't as great as Loftus-Roker as yet. He may have been greater, but for that particular time, of course, he was stunted. And, you know, I felt like, you know what, something was amiss, but it was very clear to me that he had a bright and glorious future.
Mm-hmm.
But we snuffed that out.
Let me tell you how deep what you just said is.
Mm-hmm.
I won't call any names, but when I moved back home to show you how the point that you made about when some of these persons are constrained is the word you use.
Mm-hmm.
When they go in there, they realize that they are almost handicapped to do that which they had intended to do.
Yes.
That is so true. The one thing that I learned when I moved back home, I was the number two person in charge of a 20-minute CFO of this particular company. My boss, who shall remain nameless for the purpose of national radio, I felt did not have sufficient grasp, and this is not me making an arrogant statement, this is from a point of facts. My boss did not have sufficient grasp of the multitude of challenges that organization faced. Can I tell you, it didn't matter how sober, how intelligent, how well I articulated the points about the things that I had proposed to change and what I thought the company needed to do to change, to do better. If he didn't take the advice, the company would fail, as the company did 2 years after I left.
Mm-hmm.
My point to you is, I agree that maybe in a lot of cases, these men mean well when they go in there.
Mm-hmm.
But the only person that matters in our system of any significance with the current incarnation of how we govern the Bahamas is the
person. Okay.
So when you have a prime minister that follows these biblical tenets, that has demonstrated from his or her track record that they are a man of seriousness, a woman of seriousness, a person of integrity, a person of who is able to deal resolutely with these matters based on the history of which they governed in the past. When we choose leaders that way, 9 times out of 10, we seem to be on a good wicket, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
The uniqueness about Mr. Pinling's cabinet was that he was surrounded truly by men of equals.
Mm-hmm.
Any one of those 7, 10 of them to be prime minister, and I think we would have done just as well as we did under Mr. Pinling.
Yeah, they did.
You cannot say that about any other administration since.
Okay.
As good periodically as some of them were.
Mm-hmm.
And that is because we have since that point focused purely on the maximum leader, whoever that person was who governed the nation. And the country went the way of that person's capacity. So we didn't move above Mr. Ingram's capacity. We didn't move above Mr. Christie's capacity. We didn't move above Dr. Minister's capacity. We're not moving above Minister Davis's capacity. And that is just the plain truth. Now, you can take that for what you will.
Mm-hmm.
But the country can. the leaders of this nation. And that's why we find ourselves in this molasses-like quagmire where we don't seem to move meaningfully in any direction one way or the other, other than seemingly sometimes down.
I think that was pretty profound. You know, I'm probably just going to take a quick break so we can let you gather your thoughts. So let me throw those numbers out there to you, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere from the Family of Islands, 300-5720, or you can text us at 422-4796. This is Remark here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. We're going to take a quick
technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
When it comes to hearts at Cleveland Clinic, you can't miss a beat. You seek the best care possible, work with the brightest minds, and leave no stone unturned to get to the heart of the matter. Because understanding is always the first step to overcoming. For every heart in the world, see how we're advancing the future of heart care at Cleveland.
Are you searching for something new? Something exciting? Your dream job in paradise? Well, look no further. Royal Beach Club Paradise Island is hiring. Join a dynamic group of passionate hospitality professionals, craft unforgettable moments, and thrive in a vibrant, welcoming atmosphere. Play your part in shaping the future of our team while growing your own career every day. Bring your energy, your passion, and your creativity to a workplace that's as dynamic and fun as you are. At Royal Beach Club Paradise Island, the opportunities don't just exist. They're limitless. So are you ready to find your perfect fit? Visit Royal Beach Club at paradiseisland.com/career today and step into a world of exciting possibilities.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
You can know that for greed I hunger.
Just imagine if we could just get this right, Darwin Russell. If we could just get this right. You know what amazes me? We're only 400,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
This is what it truly amazes me. I've been to places like Roswell in the Atlanta, mm-hmm. Georgia area.
Mm-hmm.
And Roswell is incorporated.
Mm-hmm.
Roswell is a business mecca right now in the Atlanta area.
Okay.
I mean, you see companies coming in, building up as if it was Singapore overnight.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, why couldn't we possibly just treat the Bahamas as a corporation and manage it proficiently?
I mean, theoretically, that was the idea behind Freeport.
Yeah. But something got in the Kool-Aid. Maybe someone put too much salt in it and not enough honey or sugar. I don't know.
It's a matter of when you designate winners and losers in the way that you designated it under the Hawksbury Creek Agreement, you determined at the end of the day that I am going to vest this land, and in exchange for that, I'm going to get Y. The problem is, with the way in which it got constructed, was the benefit, by and large, accrued only to those two families.
Mm-hmm.
So then, nothing happens that I am not going to accrue a disproportionate benefit from, regardless mm-hmm. of how it impacts the citizens within Freeport. So if one developer, one project doesn't suit their vision, their demand, it doesn't happen.
They're not interested.
Yeah. So you can say that, so you can't say that a private sector model type structure in and of itself is better, because other countries have proven to you, as long as the government has integrity and the people can trust it, it has a vision and the ability to execute, as so many Nordic states do, as even some of the more modern progressive Arab nations do, as some of the Asian superpowers do. They, at the end of the day, can still do right. New Zealand does. Australia does. Do right by their people and have progressive civilization. So I don't think it's a, you have to choose one is better than the other, I should say. It boils down to what it has always boiled down to, the character of the leader.
Integrity.
Yeah.
Caller on the line, go ahead. Go ahead, caller. I think we lost the caller.
Yeah.
Our caller can call back. So we're looking at leadership and integrity.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I'm hearing you speak about.
Mm-hmm.
What have we done in the past in terms of choosing a leader then? Because, caller, you're calling again. Go ahead, caller. Let me let you speak first. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good doing afternoon. Real good. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is Bishop Agaro.
Hey, Bishop.
Hey, Doctor.
How you doing?
We're good, man.
We talk about leaders, and Darwin was talking about from Finland and go down to Ingram and go down to Perry Christie, go down to Dr. Millicent, go down to Brave Davis.
Mm-hmm.
Why haven't we tried a female prime minister?
Okay.
You have Loretta Butter-Turner.
Yes.
You have the new lady who's running in Southern Shore, Donnelly 10.
Yes.
These are strong women.
Yes.
Who's done plenty work, mm-hmm. plenty groundwork,
mm-hmm.
Rehabilitating females, women, mm-hmm. broken women, sometimes women who want to jump over the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And on and on. These women has doctor's degrees, master's mm-hmm. degrees, degrees for economics that run a country.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we give a female an opportunity to become the prime minister of this country? Mm-hmm. And let's see if we have a change. We had from Finland
mm-hmm.
come straight down.
Mm-hmm.
And we have, I don't think that they're going to be perfect, but mm-hmm. I think that they will drive the country in a direction where they will polish the wheel. And behaviors will be successful.
Okay, thank you for your call. You want to do afterwards?
Once again, I don't know if it's a female versus male thing, but it's a fair point that he's making, that what you are asking for is something different. Try something other than the formula that we've been trying before, because the results is what we're judging, and we're saying that they have been found wanting. So if we go the route of a female, my bigger question to the Bahamian public is, what genuinely are the criteria that we use to judge a leader?
Period.
Period.
Yeah.
So if on the scorecard, Garth, we say these five attributes are what we're looking for. Integrity. How do we judge integrity? On a scale of 1 to 5, 5 is you can get 5 is the highest score you can get. That's one. If we say we want to judge your business acumen, that's another one. We say we want to judge your honesty, that's another one. We say we might want to judge you have a quote-unquote heart for the people. That's another one. We say, and fifthly, we want to judge whether or not, at the end of the day, your history was reflective of one of success. Even if we use basic criteria like that and we judge these men and women who are aspiring for leadership or who are currently leaders in their political organization, how many of them realize an A grade? How many of them would even get a B grade?
Mm-hmm.
So whatever evaluative tool you're using, I'm saying, if you are doing that with a degree of objectivity,
can we, do we honestly say that then who we are choosing is the top performer and the best option that we have? And if the answer is yes, then you know who to vote for. What? If it's no, then you need to go back
so
to the drawing
board. So what I'm hearing from you is what I would call righteous expectation.
Sure.
But there is not a righteous expectation because the people are not voting righteously.
Okay.
I do believe in the mind of being people there is a...
Can you vote righteously with amongst unrighteous men? I'd be in Trapsy, but if all of the candidates are unrighteous men, and I'm just being facetious, people. I'm not casting dispersions against anybody.
The process would still bring forth an unrighteous leader righteously. Righteously. Because then it means that you have to now prepare yourself to go into captivity.
Okay.
This is why Lot had to leave Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yes, fair.
Because unrighteousness is all around. Mm-hmm. And when you have become outnumbered to the point where righteousness can no longer remain, mm-hmm. then righteousness is asked to step out of unrighteousness. Now, when you do that, you put yourself into an issue. And I want to talk about this religion and politics.
Okay.
Because if you look at it religiously, the Haitian mm-hmm. who is in Haiti mm-hmm. is living in an unrighteous situation.
Okay.
And what if the God who's the God of heaven and earth, the God of Egypt, Greece, Rome, Italy, England, France, the Netherlands, and every place else mm-hmm. says to David, mm-hmm. loose yourself from Port-au-Prince, mm-hmm. loose yourself from Port-au-Prince, and go on the boat and go over to the Bahamas, and I will make you into a great nation.
Yes.
Now, we then know, we say, it's too much of them.
Right.
You're multiplying too much. Mm-hmm. You're taking over. Mm-hmm. You're making our life hard. Mm-hmm. But then God spoke to David.
Yes.
And it's God who brought him through the waters mm-hmm. of the Caribbean, all the shark-infested waters, mm-hmm. when we couldn't go in our boat to go mm-hmm. and power our boat and go fishing or go sailing. These people coming in these rough waters, mm-hmm. and they made it to the shore. Mm-hmm. And God covered them like how God covered Moses inside the Nile River and covered like how he covered Jesus in the stable. Mm-hmm. Then what you're saying, that's the religious side of things.
Okay.
The politics side of this says, y'all illegal, y'all need to go back home. So in this Christian nation, mm-hmm. see, this is where I wanted to get to.
No, go ahead.
In this Christian nation, which one are you? You just can't mix.
I would say to you.
But you are a God-fearing man, mm-hmm. and only God can determine mm-hmm. where you are born and where you're going. It was God who put me in the house with my mother, who was a brethren. Mm-hmm. And I went to Baptist Bible. I was a Baptist. Mm-hmm. And I used to eat 2 conch every Sunday and come home. And then my stepfather, who was a Seventh Adventist, he moved in when I was 10. And so my mother became a Seventh Adventist. And so me being a child, honoring your father and your mother, I also became a Seventh Adventist. I didn't really, really choose to be a Seventh Adventist. Right. Seventh Adventist came to me. Mm-hmm. When the time came for the Adventist church to tell me, I ain't really a part of y'all. Mm-hmm. I step out. Now I understand who I am. I'm God. Mm-hmm. I know Adventist, I know Baptist, I know Catholic, I know Presbyterian, I know Jehovah's Witness, I'm God. Mm-hmm. And so when you speak to me now, mm-hmm. I speak as a, hopefully, in quote, a righteous man who's prepared to make righteous judgments, not based on a belief system in that of an organization, mm-hmm. but my belief is in God and God alone. So I've opened myself to say, God, if you say PLP, mm-hmm. it must be PLP. If you say it's F&M, it must be F&M. Mm-hmm. If you say it's COI, it must be COI or any other party. Mm-hmm. And I have done that before.
Yes.
I have seen where the PLP brought a wrong person to me. Mm-hmm. And even though you may have supported that party, you couldn't vote for that person.
Okay.
So you vote for who's a better person.
Okay.
But we don't have that freedom in the Bahamas. If you are PLP and they hear you vote F&M, they can throw you out. Mm-hmm. If you are F&M and they hear you vote PLP, they won't throw you out. Mm-hmm. This is how our country works. Sure. There's no righteousness or no righteous decision-making in the individual for a better nation. And that's where I have a problem with the Bahamas, who says that we are a Christian nation and we have a democratic situation where our constitution protects all who want to worship, however they want to worship. But when it comes to our politics, we have no room for righteousness.
Well, first of all, from where I sit, righteousness cannot be judged or defined by man.
So where does it come from?
It has to come from the Bible.
From the Bible?
From the Bible. That's what Darwin believes.
Or from the heart?
No, it comes from the Bible.
Okay, so tell me what righteousness from the Bible means.
So, do the right thing as God defines right. So, you could be a good man and not be a righteous man.
I ain't calling my cousin named Darwin. Let me tell what my cousin say. Mm-hmm. I was campaigning as a third-party person.
Yes.
As an independent person. Because I'm a very independent mm-hmm. man. And my other cousin, her son, says, man, you got to support God. You know what she said to me? I born a PLP. Mm-hmm. I can die a PLP. If Jesus Christ himself come and tell me to vote different, okay, I still can be a PLP. Okay. Now, that is how she spoke.
Sure.
That's how some F&M speak. Mm-hmm. That's how some COI speak. Mm-hmm. So there's no wiggle room for righteous thinking in these type of individuals.
I got you.
This is why when we have the negative situations in this country that we now have, you have immigrants, you got social problems, you got financial problems, you got all these problems coming upon you. Mm-hmm. Not because God doesn't love you, or the God of heaven and earth, whatever religion you focus on, doesn't love you. I do believe you brought many of these plagues upon yourself because you have not voted righteously.
Okay. So I'll drop this one on you.
All, you want to take this caller quickly?
Let me make this quote. All God decisions, listen to me, all good decisions are not God decisions, but all God decisions are good decisions. Take your call.
We wanted to break that down in a minute. He got to break that down to us. Go ahead, caller.
Godson, loving, good afternoon.
Hey, superstar.
Good afternoon, my brother. Why are you in sitting in with us today, man? What's going on? You don't like brother, us, Lamoy?
Nah, I was inside church serving my God and praying for this nation to the best of my ability. I listened to this conversation very intently and very purposely. And I can say to you this much. Until we choose a leader of this nation who cares about this nation and want to grab the, I don't want to use the word, but grab the bull by the horns to do what is right for the country. This country, and on its current trajectory, would not progress. Let me put it like this. Mm-hmm. We have so many flaws in this system, and we all know that the system is inherently corrupt, okay? And we have no leaders that is progressive enough or brave enough, and I hate using that word, brave enough to go and grab the bull by the horns and begin to make the necessary changes to put us on the right path. Mm-hmm. Listen, the path will not be corrected unless we begin somewhere. And from my analysis of what's been going on over the past, in particular the past 30 years, I've seen a downward trend in the governance of this country. Mm-hmm. We've heard the cries of the Bahamian people and their concerns where we see how and where the country is being degraded, and yet we have no leader who is bold enough to fight the current systems in the form that it is and bring about the relevant changes that is necessary. It takes a brave, courageous leader to do that, and we don't have that. Now, you know, I'm going to go on record to say this much. You know, they say words can say, and mouth can say anything, but it's their actions that prove it. Yeah. The closest person, to be honest with you, that really want to bring about a revolution in this country right now, even though it's only rhetoric, is that of the COI leader. And you're so right. We have voted a party out, and we expect that same party that was voted out for all of the relevant changes that we wish to see, I can tell you, it's going to take more than them to do it. It's going to take the set of the Bahamian people to really not just say that they want to change, but to demand and then put into action to bring about the changes. And until that happens, we're only a bunch of talk. Ain't nothing different is going to happen in this country.
Thank you.
And that's all I have to say on that. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, Jeff.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Jeff. Let me just read two texts, and then I want to respond to some of those. I'll let Darvin go ahead and respond first, of course, because, you know, Darvin always has some great points. And that brain, I don't know how that brain keeps working, but we appreciate you, Darvin Russell. Gosh, we won't get no blessing as long as the corrupt masses, crew, and people who think like them stay in power, so we have to remove them all, they said. This other text says, Gosh, what does genitals... I know you're going to like this one, Darvin. What does genitals have to do with leadership? I think this is in response to Bishop Agaro's commentary. Statistics have proven that gender doesn't play a role in leadership. Why don't we choose a white man as prime minister? We have a female governor general. See any change, Garth? I want Brent Simonet as the prime minister. And so you see, once again, variation, Darvin Russell, because number one, you said that leadership is not a gender. And I think Bishop Kermit Agaro recognizes that, but he's probably feeling that maybe a physical change may inspire differently.
That's it. Yes,
and so I can respect him in that regard. Mm-hmm. But to say that a woman is smarter or a man is smarter than a woman, Of course, we would never, ever suggest that.
Mm-hmm.
For those particular women mentioned, of course, Darwin laid out that there should be some criteria in the minds of the citizenry in terms of selecting a leader, and that should be able to come whether that be male or female. Then you get into the religious aspect of what he said. And the religious aspect, some men are going to say to you, women need to be silent in public. That's what the Bible has to say, and God made the man the head and the woman the tail. Mm-hmm. And then you get into that religious side of variation. Mm-hmm. And so this is why I said to religion in politics tends to somewhat be confusing.
Mm-hmm.
Because whereas, as Julian said earlier, there is a law in place. Let's say the law for hanging. That is in place. But there's also the people who are the beneficiaries, or those people who are going to be basically the benefactors of the law, that say, you know what? You know, Darwin, don't kill the boy. We don't need to hang nobody in jail, because you don't want to get hanged. You imagine how that feels, and then that's inhumane.
Yes.
And then they have a whole long spiel for you.
Mm-hmm.
And so how can this country move forward trying to be Christian, righteous, and then being so political?
Mm-hmm.
And this is what we're saying. You're picking a leader who's not religious.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't show any sign of being religious. Have you seen any lately?
No.
I'm just being honest, whether PLP or FNM. Mm-hmm. Or even COI, anyone who's really religious, or do you see people who are waiting an opportunity to exercise the strength and power to dictate what's in their best interest and not in yours?
Yes. Agreed.
Okay.
Agreed.
That's what we're speaking about today. And so here the numbers are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere from the Family of Violence, 300-5720, or you can text us at 422-4796. So they're talking about correcting, Jeff's talking about correcting the situation. He mentioned a political group that he believes is speaking out as if this change needs to take place through a revolution.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
How do you feel about a revolutionary idea in terms of righteousness?
I obviously believe that a righteous leader would be the best choice for us. But to me, that means that... You tell me what those principles, those biblical tenets are that you're following, that your platform is based off of, that you have demonstrated, and the people that you have around you have demonstrated who are going to lead us. I have not witnessed that. Have you?
Well, do we really want a Christian leader?
Why would
someone who's going
to go? What about a Christian leader offends people? What about a Christian leader, somebody who practices his or her faith based on, like I said, the tenets of the Bible, not on what you think, based on the tenets of the Bible. So show it to me. I don't want you to go up there, because you're right. There are many different religions in the world that are even practiced in the Bahamas. So I'm saying to you, you and I both read the Bible. You show me what in the Bible you are basing this policy, this program, this law, this manifesto on, and demonstrate to me how these principles have impacted and led you in your life. That's all I'm asking you.
Is that an example of a nation that has done that, you think?
I do not believe that there, and I can't, don't quote me on this, but I do not know, considers themselves a Christian nation where the leaders consider themselves, not that it does not exist, that's not something I have researched,
mm-hmm.
where the leaders themselves are. Now, we know multiple Muslim nations practice Islam,
mm-hmm.
and they have developed what appears to be very progressive, or at least technologically advanced, let me say it that way, societies. But let me go back to the point that I made before you took your break about good decisions and God decisions.
Mm-hmm.
When I say a God decision, that is what I'm talking about a principled decision based on the Bible. All God decisions, therefore, are good decisions, but not all good decisions are God decisions. Meaning, you can have a good policy decision that still is not a God or biblically based decision. It's not morally righteous.
Mm-hmm.
So we can say, for example, you can use the Netherlands, and you can say that based on the difficulty to police it, the rampant usage of it, the ubiquitous nature of it within their society, they decided to legalize prostitution.
Okay.
That may have been good policy. That, however, was not a God decision. You see what I'm saying?
I like it.
You can argue that the reason why there was an outcry downright disgust at Mr. Christie's administration for allowing the numbers industry to be legalized is because it may have been, in Mr. Christie's mind, a good decision to regulate, et cetera, but it was not a God decision. Mm-hmm. You with me?
I'm with you so far.
You can use the same parallels for any number of other vices that we have in any society or culture or civilization. It's difficult to police, therefore, legalize it and tax it. Marijuana, hard drugs, you pick it. We have not won the war on drugs as a world. So why not legalize it and regulate it as they did with marijuana in the United States? But was it a good policy decision to a certain degree, but was it a God decision?
So do we have the faith to believe then that the God decision is going to preserve the Bahamas and make it the best country on earth? Or do we believe that we just need to be the best in terms of investment, in terms of any good decision like that of a red district?
I am not saying that a good decision or good decision makers don't make successful nations. But I'm saying to you,
That's what I'm asking now.
I don't know of any God-based civilizations that were bad. You understand what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? So if during the period of time that the children of Israel followed the tenets that God laid out, they were prosperous.
Mm-hmm.
They were still a God. They were still a nation that but it no longer followed the very principles that were laid down for them. What happened to them? Went into captivity. They suffered, etc. That's the point that I'm making.
Okay.
So it's not only to claim that you are. It's the practice. It's the obedience that God rewards. It's that. So okay. that's what I'm. That's
and
what
so
I'm saying.
And so here's where I challenge your thought. Mm-hmm. I challenge your thought.
Yes, sir.
I'm looking at a nation called Israel today.
Yes, sir.
That is supposed to be the children or the direct descendants of mm-hmm. the people that God chose through Abraham, yes. who was also Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at that nation today,
yes,
is it because they are failing to follow the principles of God, or is it just because the people themselves are misunderstanding mm-hmm. as to the prophecy and the inheritance that they should have?
That's a deep question.
Well, I know it is, but you're a deep guy. Because now you're telling me that as the nation, we need to go ahead and follow the principles of God. And what mm-hmm. if God says to us, be kind to our neighbors and all who he sends here, we open our arms to take care of them because God has sent them to us to take care of because the Bahamas is rich in natural resources and we are capable and very able to absorb another 600,000 people. Caller, you're on the line. Go ahead.
Mr. God.
Hey.
Back again. Mr. Garvin is right, you know. Not every good decision is God's decision.
I like that when he said that. That was quite brilliant.
And this is what people don't understand. You may have a good decision, but that don't mean God is in that. And it could benefit, some of the people and stuff like that. Now, I hear you asking.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to tell me at all the country in the world, name me one Christian nation. People get this Christian nation mixed up. Because when you look at all the world and tell me if the Bahamas ain't caught up in the same situation, doing the same thing that these other nations do.
Okay.
When God said it was a Christian nation, he was talking about Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Israel. We are doing everything that you could think about inside this country. And my last point is, I heard a woman pastor said, that's why I said in my statement when I called the first time, I heard the lady said that she was prophesying and said, God told her, I listened to her in my own ear,
mm-hmm.
God told her that Lincoln Bean is going to run this country.
Mm-hmm.
You hear me?
Mm-hmm. And you believe that?
Come on, God, man.
I'm just asking a question.
I may not be the smartest knife in the drawer, the sharpest knife in the drawer. Believe that? But you just let these people run on and run on to see the time we are living in. Thank you.
Thank you for your call. Next call on the line, go ahead, caller. You're on the line. Caller, go ahead. Hello? Hello, caller, you there? Caller, go ahead. Caller, you there? Okay. We didn't hear anything from that caller. You'll have to call back. The question here is, Garth, kindly ask Darvin, that's Darvin Russell, to expound on why legalizing numbers isn't a God decision, and kindly ask him to provide the scripture that supports his point. While he thinks about that, let me take this call quickly. Go ahead, caller.
Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Yes, hi. Good afternoon to both of you. It's Alan Johnson.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, Dr. Alan. How you doing?
Yeah. I want the two of you, before we start this conversation, I want the two of you to listen very carefully to a statement I'm going to make. Okay? Listen very carefully. A blind man searching for a dime that is in the corner of a dark circular room painted black. Did you understand it?
We heard you.
Right. The blind man represents the disadvantaged, misled, or uninformed. Okay. The dark circular black room is a system designed to trap. There's no access, no light, no orientation. The dime is supposed to be something of wealth, opportunity, truth, justice. The corner that doesn't exist in a circle means that the person is chasing illusions. But the essence of the dime not being there is ultimate fertility, searching for something that was never real, never placed, or never intended to be found. The problem we have is that you guys are speaking about Peter's principle, where you can take an individual who's been good at a particular thing, and it says, Peter's principle says, eventually we will all rise to the level of our incompetence. You could be a good a teacher, and because you're so good at teaching or whatever your profession is, they say you should be someplace else. And when you're put in that position of authority,
mm-hmm.
you will then found that you rise to your level of incompetence.
Yeah, we're subject to that.
But just let me make one more point, is we are seeking these individuals to manage what they cannot measure. And the reason you can't manage what you cannot measure is because you refuse to acknowledge what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have this gap analysis
mm-hmm.
where even the people who are looking for leadership don't know where we are or even a path to where they need to plot.
I like it.
Okay, and so that's the problem we have. So the problem we need to do as a country is to define where we are. And I end with this. You know, we say, oh, the roads ain't done, the schools ain't built, and none of these things built. Can you tell me how many roads or whatever have to be paved? Can you tell me how many schools need to be built? Can you tell me the true nature of the hospital that need to be built? Can you give me any of these things? So until we get that gap assessment, we will simply be guessing at who we like and who we think will be fixing it. So what we need to do is we need to find a leader who will measure where we are to put a path to where we need to be.
I like it. I really do, C. Allen. Man, listen, that to me was excellent. What do you think?
I mean, I don't have any difficulty with the principle. I think some of our problems in this country are more fundamental than that. I think we have a broken electoral system.
Mm-hmm.
with how we elect our leaders.
This is why what he says exists.
So, precisely.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not so much the way that you need a leader who is able to say where we are and where we're going. That's what eventually a good leader should do.
Yes.
I'm saying the systems that we have
mm-hmm.
and how we select those men and women to lead us is in and of itself corrupted.
Hmm.
So what we are choosing from at the end of the day is a group of individuals that we, the people, didn't select.
Mm-hmm.
We, the people, did not evaluate.
We're saying that right now.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
They were evaluated by a small subsection of the population.
For their own purposes.
For their own purposes.
Mm-hmm. Not
and this is not a knock at any of the individuals who are assuming those positions. This has nothing to do with them. I'm saying to you, the fundamental system
mm-hmm.
by which we get the leaders that we get, the candidates that we get, is broken.
Mm-hmm.
So it is very difficult for a broken system to produce a whole result.
I like it. You want to answer that question that they have there?
Sure. Well? I mean, he can, for me, it's by the sweat of your shall you eat bread. And I mean, if he needs a scripture reference, that's from Genesis 3 and 19. There is nothing about gambling at the end of the day that says, and I'm not talking about people who do it recreationally, but even if you do it recreationally, you are not gambling to give your money to the gambling house. Your expectation and desire is to get more out
than you put in. Yes, that's your expectation.
Okay. So, and the Bible is very clear. You work for what you earn.
Mm-hmm.
There is no work
in gambling. That's what makes it not a God principle or God decision. That's the only point that I'm making. Now you can argue with me whether or not that's how you view that point, but that's for you to argue. I'm not here to debate the point. If you feel as though gambling is not a sin, go ahead and gamble.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have a problem with it, go. You and I just are on different pages. It's the same way about alcohol. We can debate all day long mm-hmm. about whether or not as a Christian you should drink. No, mm-hmm. the Bible does not expressly forbid drinking amongst Christians.
Mm-hmm.
I just choose not to partake.
Correct.
It's not a conversation that I think I need to have, especially in debate amongst Christians.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that something that you want to set the rules on? Why is that something you wish to flirt with mm-hmm. as a Christian?
Mm-hmm.
Of all of the things you wish to defend, your right to drink is one you wish to you want to die on that hill?
Well,
you understand what I'm saying?
This is why I said to you, religion has its variations.
Exactly.
Because when I went to Catholic school,
yes,
this is what the priest drank.
That's correct.
He drank from the cup, and he shared from the cup.
The Bible does not prohibit
it. And so you don't need to waste time as to whether yes. the priest is right or wrong.
That's correct.
If you want to drink, go right ahead. But know what the consequences are if you drink too much. That's just the way it is. Well, listen, folks, let me throw those numbers out for the last time. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Anywhere from the Family of Violence, 300-5720. Or you can text us at 422-4796. We're going to take a quick break there. We have Brittany on the board, and we'll be right back.
Imagine all the people chatting.
Loftier goal is within our reach. We believe in the essence of our identity, the richness of our history, and the boundless potential that lies within us. That's why our network is built by, owned by, and managed by us. Alive, believe in Bahamians. Visit bealive.com to take advantage of our golden independence deals. Alive, believe in best.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere.
But I'm not the only one.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. This is your favorite program on Sunday, Remark. And we have a follow-up text here from C. Allen. He says that the system isn't broken. It is working the way it was designed. Please explain to me the brokenness in this system. It's like blaming the game, which is the system, or the ball, which is the MPs, for your performance. Learn how to play the game or get off the court. And then my friend here, she texts in and she says, so based on your co-host point, investments are ungodly because we gain profits for work we didn't perform. But that's another discussion again. That's a whole show.
Oh, no. No. I ain't going to leave that like that.
And then let me take this caller.
Investments are work.
Let me take this caller.
That's what white collar work is.
Let me take this caller. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, guys.
Hey, guys, brother. Go ahead.
Robin, what's up?
I'm good, bye.
All right, good, good. Let me turn the radio down. Yeah, I just want to pass my observation.
Sure.
Right? Two political parties was in charge of this country.
Yes.
Right?
Over the last 52 years.
And what I'm trying to figure out is that, okay, we in this position, and people, like, we're looking at this thing soberly, I don't think. Because when we look, when we go to the select these candidates, all these candidates come from among us, and the FNM will say, "Oh, we pick all the smart candidates," mm-hmm. and then the PLP will say, "Oh, we get all the rich candidates." Mm-hmm. But these are the same people who were jucking and jiving us all day long.
Yeah, sure.
These same people. Mm-hmm. Now, some might mean well, like what you say, Darvin. Mm-hmm. Everybody didn't, when they get in there, they realize it's a stumbling block.
Absolutely.
But at the end of the day, listen, it got to be a better way, bro. Mm-hmm. It got to be a better way of dealing with this stuff. I am so close to giving up.
Mm-hmm. Don't give up.
When I say giving up, I mean giving up on everything, even humanity, because
no,
I don't think humans are the smartest set of people ever, because the dumb stupids what they put on us.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, when you say you're tired, before you go, that's when you need to join us here while you're here today. I appreciate your call. You know, it's at the end of the show, but please call in again. I'm going to be on the show actually tomorrow from 12 to 2.
Yeah,
I don't know if Darvin's going to be here, but we have an interview with the Office of the Prime Minister tomorrow. Then, of course, from 1 to 2, based on Darvin's schedule, he'll join me accordingly. But he's free to come in at any time on the show. But, of course, he may pop up at 1 to 2. But I want to continue this conversation because it's just taking off. Because what we're trying to do is to build a foundation in terms of the thought processing, in terms of creating the right environment for this system to actually work. And so what you're saying to me now is that, okay, I'm tired of that system. Now we can now bind ourselves together, people like yourself and Darvin, and say, you know what, let's get the system fixed. And that's what this conversation is all about.
Man, how, God, let me just say this before I go, man.
Sure, man.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I 57.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think any politician could come around me, because I've been studying politics from I was a little boy.
Yeah.
Right? And the nonsense and the games and the it's all being played over and over and over again. And it's like the Bahamian people, well, just like the world, because everybody go on and say, I don't even want to take that C shot. Over stupidness. No, so anyhow. Boy, I know, boys. Humanity is in big trouble.
Well, I'm 56. I'm 56,
you,
and we got a responsibility
call.
To pass it on to the next generation. But I appreciate your call. Next caller, you're on the line. Go ahead.
Hello.
Go ahead. You're on the line.
Yeah, Brother God, I hope you're doing well.
Man, I'm doing very well. I'm in the company of Mr. Darvin Russell. We always have a good time on Sunday. And glad you joined
us. I heard
him,
and he had some. But scripture is very clear, Proverbs 29:2. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. Do you see that happening in our country?
Well, Professor, I only see, a few people truly rejoicing. But, Bahamians have a very good art. It's called faking it till you make it. And we do a great job of that. Have you ever seen the Bahamian people when they go to the airport? All the time they've been broke, and this all of a sudden they know they're going to Fort Lauderdale, and they know exactly which hotel and which street it's on, and they know to rent a car, and they know how to drive on the right-hand side properly, and how to shop and use a credit card and come back home. They know all these things, but when they're here,
it's a different story.
They're back to chicken shack mentality, man.
No, I agree with you. That's being deceitful.
And that's what we do.
See, the word is very clear, and Psalm 119:172, and I agree with Darvin when he spoke about. Where is the evidence that what they have is based on the Bible? You look at all these platforms from 67 and even before then, you haven't seen one platform that has been based on Holy Scripture.
No.
Not one single platform. And that is a problem. But see, God doesn't change. If we take God at his word, then he tells you. If you put righteous people, and righteous people are commandment-keeping people, Psalm 119:172, all of God's commandments are righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
So righteous people are people who obey God. They go by his code of conduct, as Darvin said earlier in the show.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we keep electing people who do not go by that code, then we have the same problems over and over again.
Absolutely.
Religious people are not necessarily righteous people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right. And the so-called good decisions that they make. those are not good decisions at all, mm-hmm. because they come back and bite the very people on whom decisions were made.
Exactly.
There's nothing good about that.
Well,
now, you may have a few people that may benefit,
mm-hmm.
but the overwhelming majority of the people in this country continue to suffer from one administration to the next.
Well, Professor, I'm going to have to invite you here next week, Sunday, if you want to join us here at Remark at 5 p.m. to 6:30. I'm going to have a Constitution and Religion with you. Right now, we're out of time.
Fair enough.
Okay, we have one last text here. Try governing a nation that pledges to abide by
Christian... Thank you very much.
No problem, Professor. Try governing a nation that pledges to abide by Christian values as a Christian nation, and you'll find yourself in error, that person says. So that person definitely probably is not a Christian. They probably are atheist by way of democratic choice, mm-hmm. that they have a right to do so. Mm-hmm. But we do thank you for tuning in to Remark. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. And if you want to sponsor such a program, you can sponsor 302-2300. And listen, it's always a pleasure to be here with you. It's a pleasure to be with Mr. Darvin Russell. Mr. Darvin, I don't know if you'll give any parting words.
Have a fantastic week, everybody. See you tomorrow.
Hey, man, it's off to Sunday dinner. Thank you.
Ooh, yeah.